Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship on a beautiful day. Question for you, what does opportunity look like? Would you say your life is full of opportunity? Or do you think opportunity has passed you by? Opportunity has more than just the physical benefits that come with life. Opportunity is all around us, including for us as a church and a school. We have an opportunity to change lives. What does that opportunity look like, and how do we go about that opportunity? Well, today we have an opportunity to be reminded of the where and the how and the what. And so we welcome former mission counselor to our Arizona-California district, Pastor Peter Krushel, as he shares God's word with us and emphasizes the opportunity before us and how to take advantage of it by the grace of God. We look forward now to our children leading us in our opening song. The words are printed out for us on page 3 of the service bulletin. As we hear our children sing, we are reminded of the fact that this too is a day the Lord has made. Let us
rejoice and be glad.
God bless. Thanks, children, for your song of praise. We continue our worship of praise on page 5 of the service bulletin. I rejoice with those who said to me,
"Let us go to the house of the Lord."
Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever.
His faithfulness continues through all generations.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve him as his dear children. But we have disobeyed him and deserve only his wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to him and plead for his mercy.
Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt.
God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to his will.
Amen.
In the peace of forgiveness, let us continue to praise the Lord. Let us pray. Lord God, you call us to work in your kingdom and leave no one standing idle. Help us to order our lives by your wisdom and to serve you in willing obedience. This is a mission emphasis Sunday focused on the opportunity to invite people to get to know the Lord Jesus and what he has done for them and continues to do. And so a reading from Holy Scripture to emphasize that from Isaiah 55, first of all, pointing out the fact that the word of God still works and God's invite still stands for all people. Seek the Lord while he may be found. call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return to it without watering the earth, and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. The word of the Lord. A second reading for this mission emphasis from Acts chapter 10, pointing out the fact that God does get his point across in a very visual way. The fact and the point being that the gospel is intended for all people to hear. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven open and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles and birds. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time. "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened three times. And immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out, asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Simon, three men are looking for you. So get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them." The following day, he arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. "Stand up," he said. "I am only a man myself." While talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them, "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with or visit with a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask why you sent for me?" Cornelius answered, "Three days ago I was in my house praying at this hour, at 3 p.m. Suddenly a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, 'Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He is a guest in the house of Simon the tanner, who lives by the sea.' So I sent for you immediately, and it was good of you to come. Now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us." Then Peter began to speak. "I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right." The word of the Lord.
Amen.
ask that you would stand for our next reading, a gospel reading from the Gospel of St. John, the 20th chapter. Our services usually center on the gospel reading. And so we give our attention to these words of Jesus, pointing out that the way to Jesus is really quite clear. It's laid out clearly for us in the Bible. Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
You may be seated at this time. If there are children who want to come forward for a children's devotion, invited to do so. Get comfortable. You're going to be here a while. About an hour. You okay with that?
No.
Nah, I'm teasing. How many of you gone camping? All right. How many of you have walked through the campsite at night when it's dark? Yeah? What do you take with you when you walk in the dark? You take a flashlight. Why do you take a flashlight? Yeah, you don't want to run into something, right? So you take a flashlight to help light the way. So you don't want to trip over a branch or running over somebody's tent or something else, right? Or run into a tree. That would hurt the tree, wouldn't it? Yeah, it might hurt you too, right? Now, how important then a flashlight is in such a situation? And other situations too, when it's dark, so we can light the way and not get hurt. Well, the Bible talks about Jesus being a light in the world. What do you think that means? How is Jesus a light in the world? Yeah, right? In a way, the world is in darkness, right? It's like walking in a campground at night. And Jesus, the Bible says, is a word. His word is a lamp to our feet and a light for our path so we don't trip while we're walking through this world. Because where does Jesus want people to go? Where? To heaven, right? And what has Jesus done to help people get to heaven? He died on the cross, right? He died on the cross for us. We confessed our sins earlier in the time. We're not always obedient to our parents, or we make fun of a classmate or a friend. For times like that, Jesus went to the cross, not so that we can continue to disobey our parents or pick on our friends, but stop and show love to them as Jesus has shown love to us through the cross. He wants all people to heaven. So he's given us the Bible to light the way. And who does he use to be a flashlight to the people of this world about Jesus? Who does he use to be a light to the people of this world? Believers, yeah, you and me. We are flashlights. So through your words and through your actions, you are a light representing Jesus. So when people see you, they can see Jesus. And then you can tell them what Jesus did for them. Went to the cross for their sins and rose again and lives in heaven and wants them to be in heaven too. And he has given us the Bible, as we just heard about, which tells us about Jesus, who gives us life. So to keep your flashlight burning, well, right, we're here today singing songs of praise and hearing God's word. So remember that when you use a flashlight, that you are a flashlight. Flashlights for Jesus in this world. Let's pray about this. Jesus, we thank you for being a light in this world, the light which lights the way we are to live, out of love for you, and ultimately lights the way to heaven. Lord, help us be lights in this world through our words and actions, letting people see you through us. And so help us then light the way to heaven for other people as well. Keep our lights, our flashlights, burning brightly, Lord Jesus. Thank you for all that you do for us day after day. Amen. All right, keep your flashlights burning. Thanks for coming up. And we're going to continue now with our hymn of the day. It's in the Blue Songbook, hymn 775. 775.
Grace and peace are yours through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God that we're looking at today is printed in your worship folder. It's taken from John chapter 4, and we read these verses. Just then, his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking to her?" Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Meanwhile, the disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him food?" "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Don't you have a saying, 'It's still 4 months until the harvest'? I tell you, Open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. This is the word of God. In the name of our Lord Jesus, who has given us this day of his grace, that you and I might sing and show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. Dear friends, the moment that the woman in who is talked about in the text here, the moment that she first heard Jesus speak, she had to know that there was absolutely something different that was going to happen to her. It was going to be an experience the likes of which she had never had anything before. It was going to be a time when she would have the opportunity to sit at the feet of someone who actually cared for her. You see, the conversation that she had with Jesus, which is recorded in the verses before our text, was a conversation that should never have taken place, not by regular customs and standards and traditions of the day. But here was somebody who was not afraid to speak to a woman he did not know. And that was certainly not the custom of the day. Here was somebody who was not so into himself that he thought of himself as a foreigner who could make his way and have his way going through her land without ever stopping to notice her or talk to her. He stopped. He talked. And she listened. And what he had to share with her was going to change her life forever, because Jesus was going to talk about himself. And not just in some grandiose way to show her that he was so much better than she was. Yes, she had made a mess of her life. But Jesus looked past that. He cared for her. He had come for people just like her and for a whole world of sinners who needed a Savior, which he was. He had come to seek and to save the lost. Now you know these things. You've heard this story before, most likely. It's a story that we often think of when we're talking about emphasizing the mission, the purpose for which God has placed us in this world. But have you ever thought about this? That you and I are just like that woman sitting at the well? When Jesus first met you, he came into your life. Maybe it was when you were baptized at that baptismal font or one similar to it when you were a child. Or maybe it was when you were older. But whenever it was, Jesus came and sat down at a well with you. And with his Holy Spirit working faith in your heart, he caused you to believe, just like this woman believed, that Jesus was the Messiah who had come to right what had gone wrong in her life, so that she would not be separated from God forever, but she would one day live with him. Now, you have experienced that as well. It's not just some person in a far-off, distant land who was benefiting from Jesus talking to her on a certain day during his ministry 2,000 years ago. It happened to you. Jesus showed his love and his care and his concern and his compassion and his passion for you. And you know what? He's done that every single day of your life since you first met him at your own well. Throughout your life, Jesus has come to you, and with the Holy Spirit working through the Word, he has always entered your life with a purpose. Sometimes he's come to help you understand more about himself and what he has come to do. He has come to seek and to save the lost, including you. Sometimes he has come to open your eyes to deeply understand all that he continues to do for you and who he is and what he can still do for you today. Sometimes he's come to you to warn you about a certain path that you seem to be traveling, warning you about the consequences of this or that action on your part, or allowing these thoughts to come into your heart and mind. Sometimes he has even come to you and simply wrapped you in his warm embrace during the times when you were grieving and lonely and feeling as though there's nobody else in the world who could love you. But Jesus has. He's shown his love for you. And that's remarkable, isn't it? Because you and I know what we are. If Jesus were to appear physically before us today, we would all have to fall down on our faces and say, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Just as we did earlier in the service this morning. And we will hear Jesus say to us, get up. Your sins are forgiven. That's how much he cares for us. It's the same kind of compassion and care that he showed for the woman who he met at the well. This Jesus, whom you and I, by God's grace, have come to know, is the same God who now gives us a mission, a purpose for life. Our purpose in life, you see, is simply to love as we have been loved. Jesus puts it this way at the end of the words here. He says, I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. It's not much different than when he said to his disciples at the end of his ministry, go and preach the gospel to all creation. Or when he said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. It's what he has given us to do. Now, how can Jesus say that to us? How can he say, you go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? He can say that because he knows us. What he has done for us, what he did for that woman, is not only bring us to faith and awaken faith in our hearts, given us a new heart and a new life in him, so that now we know that we're not going to be separated from God forever when we die. We're going to join him in the place that he's prepared for us in heaven. That's the truth. But there's another truth that goes along with it. We love because he first loved us. We have a heart of compassion. The Apostle Paul said, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing men's sins against them. And he has given us the message of reconciliation. It is our purpose in life, to simply go. How does Jesus know that you're going to do that? How could he ever have known that the woman to whom he spoke at that well in outside the city of Sychar in Samaria, how could he know that that woman was going to be led by the Holy Spirit to run back into her town and to tell the townspeople, come and see this man who's told me all about myself? Could he be the Messiah? That woman acted because Jesus had shown his love to her. And that's how Jesus knows that you're going to do the same thing. The Apostle Paul put it like this. He said, Christ's love compels us. In fact, he said, because we are convinced that one died for all and therefore all died, Christ's love compels us. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. We are Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. You see, this is what we do. It is because Christ's love for us, the love that he showed to us when he first approached us and continues to be with us every day, that's the love that we strive to show. It works like this. What Jesus wants, that's what we want. The eyes that he wants us to look at the world with are the eyes that we want to look at the world with. We have become his hands and his feet, and we are the people, not just to gather in a nice worship setting like this, but we are the people to whom he has entrusted the word of love, the gospel that tells people your sins are forgiven. That's the message for the world. How does Jesus know that you're going to do that? I have a 14-year-old granddaughter who was born with severe heart deficiencies. She has had, she just had her third open heart surgery this past summer at Stanford University, which is one of the few places in the world that has the ability and the wherewithal to perform the kind of surgery, heart and lung surgery, that she needed. I remember back when she first had her first open heart surgery at the age of 6 days. And as the surgeon and the other doctors and other people were informing us what that, like, they pointed out that during this type of open heart surgery, they would have to stop her heart so that they would be able to work on it. And you might imagine what went through all the minds of all of our family members. How can you take a heart that is so small and so damaged and hardly works on its own, and you're telling us that you're going to stop that heart? What if you can't get it started? And the surgeon said to us, the problem in open heart surgery is not getting the heart to start again. It's to keep the heart from starting during surgery. You see, what he was saying was that our hearts have one function. They pulsate with blood and push that blood through veins and arteries one way or the other. They beat. All they do is pump blood. It's what they were created to do. It's what they have to do. It's no different than with you and me and our new relationship with Jesus Christ and the faith that he has worked in our hearts. We pulsate in syncopation with Jesus. It's what we do. When Jesus says, open your eyes and look at the world, it is ripe for harvest, we understand what he's saying, and we desire to beat with that same beat, that loving compassion that Jesus has for sinners. It is who we are. It is what we do in Christ. You get that? It's been said that there are three philosophical questions that need to be answered by every person who has ever lived in the world. And you've heard these before. Where did I come from? Why am I here? And where am I going? By God's grace, you and I know where we came from. We know that we were created by the same God who created Adam and Eve in the beginning. We are their descendants. Why are we here? By God's grace, you and I know that we are here to praise God, to bring him glory, to grow in his grace, and to go with the gospel. That's our life. We know where we're going when we die. By God's grace, we know that we're going to live with Christ forever. I would submit to you that there's a fourth question. It goes something like this. Where do I live? Where do you live? God has put you in a certain place, in a certain community, in a certain state, at a certain time in the history of this world to carry out your purpose. Where do you live? Many of you live Citrus Heights, Orangedale, Folsom, community surrounding the greater Sacramento area. This is where God has placed you. Now, you have the opportunity. No, you have just a wonderful chance to be able to share with the people who are your friends and neighbors the good news that Jesus shared, the same good news that Jesus shared with the woman that he met at the well. Sometimes, though, I think that we lose sight of where we live, don't we? We think that what we really ought to do is just live in the four walls within this nice structure that God has provided for us. And we don't want to be part of that world out there. It's so much more comfortable in here. We aren't challenged by other people for what we believe. It's nice that most of these people here agree with what you and I think and believe, and it's so much easier. But God doesn't place you in this building 7 days a week. He's given you jobs or connections with people out there, outside those walls. Open your eyes and look at the fields. They're ripe for harvest. You know, when the disciples came back from going into the town of Sychar to get food for Jesus and them to eat, they were surprised to find Jesus talking with this woman at the well, and that she was going back into town and bringing out all the townspeople to meet Jesus too. They wondered what had happened. What was going on here? And they tried to get rid of the woman, to get rid of the townspeople so that Jesus could eat, because that's what was uppermost in their minds. We need some food. We need something to drink. Get these people away. They're making our lives hard. Jesus knew. He said to his disciples, you know, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Later on, the disciples would understand. They would know that he was talking to them and about them. Later on, commissioning them to go with the gospel to people like this woman. Did Jesus know what kind of person this woman was? He sure did. He knew about the mess that she had made of her life. All those townspeople who were coming to him, he knew that they had a false religion and false ideas about God. But what he really looked at was the fact that they needed a Savior. And he had come for them. He came for you. Do you know what your life would be without Jesus? You know what it would be like? Just like everybody outside these walls. Open your eyes. What I'm inviting you to do today is to not just see the billions of people who out there who need to hear about Jesus. Maybe that's too big a number for you to even grasp. Don't even think about all the people in the greater Sacramento area who need to hear about Jesus. What I'd like you to do today, if you would, is just think about the next person you're going to meet when you leave this building today. Will it be a young person at a gas station, working in a convenience store? What will you say to him or her that will bring that person one step closer, perhaps, to being able to confess that Jesus is his or her Savior too? Will the next person that you meet be a person in your own household or someone that you're going to be working with later today or tomorrow? Will it be somebody that you go to school with? Don't look at the whole face of humanity, but just the face of that one human being that Jesus is going to have you meet. The mechanic who's going to work on your car. This is where gospel work begins. This is where you and I begin to live out our purpose for living in this world. It is being able to open our eyes and look at the fields that are ripe for harvest right here. Let none hear you idly saying, there's nothing I could do. While the multitudes are dying and the master calls for you, take the task he gives you gladly. Let his work your pleasure be. Answer gladly when he calls you, here am I. Send me. Because it's who you are. Amen. Please rise. And now the peace from God that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. I invite you to join in the Apostles' Creed at the bottom of page 9. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Spirit,
born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated.
We offer up this prayer. O Father, whence all blessings come, O Son, dispenser of God's store, O Spirit, bear our offerings home, Lord, make them yours forevermore. Amen. We continue with the prayer of the church. It's printed out for us on page 10 of the service bulletin. We pray, Lord God, our maker and preserver, we praise and thank you for all that you give us day after day.
We are not worthy of all the mercies you show us.
You have given us your precious word to nourish our souls and to protect us from the temptations of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature.
We thank you for those who teach and preach your saving truth as it is everywhere. Grant them a rich measure of patience, wisdom, and love.
Heavenly Father, we pray that you shield us from every kind of danger, sudden catastrophe, terrors of crime, and the pain of disease. Watch over those who travel by land, sea, and air. Keep our loved ones from whatever perils may threaten them.
Heal those who are sick, cheer those who are sad, calm those who are distressed, and comfort all who are old and infirm.
Bless our land, our people, and those who hold offices of high trust. Keep our government and schools upright and strong for the advancement of good citizenship and useful vocations, that we may enjoy your gifts of peace, security, and well-being.
Grant your blessing to every nation on earth. Where there are wars, may there be peace. Where there is hatred, let it be healed. Where there is poverty, danger, or disaster, come with your almighty power to help out with your sword.
Lord, we continue to commend Daniel Johnson to your care for healing as he remains in the hospital. Give Daniel and his family an extra measure of perseverance during this time of medical setbacks mixed with progress. Help them hold on to your promises, especially the kept promise regarding what Jesus came to accomplish with Daniel and all people in mind. Thank you, Lord, for watching over Miranda Lederman and blessing Miranda and Gunner with a baby boy. Bless the opportunity they have to raise up Jackson and their daughter Stella in your ways, O Lord. Bring help and healing to those dealing with fires and collapsed buildings and other events which give evidence of a world dealing with the consequences of sin in this world. Continue to watch over the coming and going of those able to celebrate another year of grace here on earth. And for those celebrating a wedding anniversary, renew the couple's love for each other as they reflect on the love you have for them. Now hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. We bring these requests before you in the name of Jesus our Lord and ask you to hear us. Take all that we have, our bodies and minds, our time and skills, our ministries and offerings, and use them to your glory.
We give ourselves to you, that we may serve you in whatever ways pleasing in your sight.
Amen. We also pray the prayer our Savior Jesus has taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Thank you.
O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, pour out the Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us strong in your grace and truth. Protect and comfort us in all temptation, and bestow on us your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. And again, great to see you in our house of worship today, and a special welcome to our guests among us. We're glad you are here. If you haven't stopped by our welcome center in the entryway there, please take the time to do so. If this is your first time with us, there's a free gift for you. There's information there about our mission and purpose as a congregation, a church, and a school here at St. Mark's. So again, stop by there and check it out. We have a presentation that Pastor Christian is going to lead at 9:30 here in the church proper. It's called Changing Mission Strategies for a Changing World, an opportunity to talk about what needs to change as we reach out to the world that we are living in and what does not change. And so an interesting discussion there. Teen class will be taking place in the upper room here in this building, and Sunday school for younger children that will start in room 803, the classroom 803. Over on that side of the campus. Just to highlight, for those interested in learning more about St. Mark's or becoming part of our church family, a review of the scriptures even, we have a foundations course that takes place at 5 o'clock on Sunday evening, so you're welcome back to hear more about that opportunity. Lutheran Women's Missionary Society, they serve missions throughout the world and even in our own area. We have a special rally coming up for Northern California. We're serving as host next Saturday. So check out the information board there in the entryway to how you can be involved and attend. It's open to men and women. A great opportunity to learn about great mission work taking place. Area Reformation Service, congregations from all area will be joining together on the first Sunday in November. So keep that in mind at 4 o'clock. We always try to have a meal afterwards, too. We like to gather for worship and food. And so if you're able to help out in any way with the meal, please see the bulletin board for information how to sign up with that or talk to Debbie, and she'll be happy to direct you on how you can help. We have our 50th anniversary gala coming up. Special celebration. Our school's been able to operate for 50 years. We're celebrating in a big way the weekend of November 9th and 10th. Special opportunity on the 9th. You can learn more about it in the entryway. And then a special worship service on the 10th. So keep that in mind. We have a Christmas for Kids coming up the day after Thanksgiving. A one-day VBS so parents can go and shop perhaps or just spend some time. And you can drop your children off here. And we'll take care of them for you for a morning from 9 to 12. And so we need volunteers to help with that. So you can talk to Pam Egley or Pastor Groth regarding more about how you can help with that Christmas for Kids. Anything else? You can see the weekly news that we print out. There are copies available there in the entryway, or you can have it emailed to you. That'd be great. I'd like to thank you, Pastor Crystal, for sharing the opportunity and how to share the opportunity of Jesus being the light in our life. As we close out today, we have a special video that's been made of the school year to date, some key events. So sit back and enjoy. Thank you.
The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me lie in pastures green. He leads me by the still, still waters. His goodness restores my soul. And I will trust in you alone. And I will trust in you alone. For your endless mercy follows me. Your goodness will lead me home. He guides my ways in righteousness. And He anoints my head with oil, and my cup it overflows with joy. I feast on His pure delights, and I will trust in You alone. And I will trust.
Will lead me home.
mercy.